Conversations with Joan Lewis.
So, Joan, we didn't have a programme last week because the Pope went to Naples.
He went to Naples and our time slot was taken up with that trip. But the fact that we didn't have a show doesn't mean that things didn't happen, you know.
And, because they certainly did.
They certainly did. And we're going to look back for a few minutes at Naples. We're going to look forward to this Sunday of the beatification of 498 Spanish martyrs. But then really kind of around those events, last week, for example, it seemed like his last days were filled with audiences. And if you look at last week, at the time slot, we would normally have recorded, of course, the Pope received the Chilean president, Michelle Bachelet, and she was that nation's first woman president. And I'm sure the talks were very interesting. She met with Cardinal Bertone afterwards and everything else. They were probably very interesting because of the right to life had to be high on their agenda. Because earlier in the year, President Bachelet approved a law giving girls over the age of 14 the right to a morning after pill, free of charge and without parental consent. And the law before that, at least as I understand it, was that girls 14 to 18 had to, it wouldn't be free, but they certainly had to have parental consent. And then Friday, the Pope had audiences just one right after the other. He received a delegation from the Mennonite World Conference. I don't think in my years in the Vatican I ever recall a group from the Mennonites, which a communique from the Vatican said that they're part of the Anabaptist tradition of the Reformation. And it said for their views on baptism, which they feel should be administered only to people capable of making autonomous decisions, they were persecuted in both Protestant and Catholic countries. And then also on Friday, the Pope received eight bishops from the Episcopal Conference of the Congo on their ad limina visit. And he also received on Friday the president of the United Republic of Tanzania, Jakaya Mrisho Kikwete, I believe is the pronunciation of his name. And then Saturday was fairly quiet because, of course, we were getting ready for Naples. And I can just tell you one thing. I'm certainly glad.
It was cold and wet.
And windy and everything else.
But there was a massive change of the weather in just a few hours because on Saturday afternoon it had been warm enough to sit out in the sun in the garden. And Sunday it was just freezing.
Oh, no. Temperatures plummeted. I mean, Rome didn't get the rain on Sunday anyway. Rome didn't get the rain and the wind and everything. But the cold, yes. And, of course, our listeners should know something very interesting. The local government mandates when heat can go on and off in a building. And so unless you might have in your apartment autonomous heating, I live in a building, for example, that does not allow autonomous heating. And only if you have autonomous heating could you turn heat on when it gets really cold. I had to go out and buy a heater because once the temperatures plummet and the inside of your house gets really cold, there's just nothing to do. You bundle up and you buy a heater. So to look at the people who came out, they could have stayed at home. Of course, if they didn't have any heat, it would have been just as cold, you know. But they didn't stay at home. They came out with their umbrellas and raincoats and, you know, upwards of or over 20,000 people to hear the Pope talk. I think they probably expected him to say what he did, and he did.
Because he spoke about the mafia.
Yeah, he did. He spoke about, and locally, our listeners should also know that the mafia in different parts of Italy has different names. So in Naples, it's the Camorra, and in another part of Italy, it's the 'Ndrangheta, and so forth and so on. But he did. He did not mince words, and he asked people to stop the killing. He said, the thing is, with this cycle of violence, of activity by the Camorra, and he named them, you have poverty, you have underemployment, you have unemployment, huge problems in Naples. And the Camorra having people in their grip, for example, they sell you insurance on your store and then, of course, outrageous, you know, usurious rates to pay for that insurance. And as the Holy Father said, that kind of violence really becomes part of the mentality, part of the fabric of society. People just accept it. It's going to be here, just like bad traffic's going to be here, and there's nothing we can do about it. And he said there has to be a change of mentality there has to be help of the government, but he said there really also has to be a spiritual change. And he you know, said there have to be programs in schools, in the workplaces, to help people realize when right is right and wrong is wrong, and to band together and to say no to these activities, because they're simply going to propagate other
and
problems.
It was really important that he spoke about the mafia, because the mafia just isn't an Italian problem. It has, with the Italian diaspora, spread through many countries in the world.
Yes, exactly. And it does have very, very deep insidious roots and does become part of the fabric of society, where, again, people just feel helpless. And in many instances, they are. What do you do when some guy comes along and wants practically, you know, $100 a day for you to insure your store, and you know what's going to happen? You're pretty sure what's going to happen if you don't pay up. So people are hostage to these actions, to this mentality. So, no, it was a great talk, and I don't know if you were in Italy at the time. As I mentioned this, I can't think of what year it was when Pope John Paul went to Sicily. I have never, in my years of covering the Vatican, covering John Paul, seen anything like this. He was up on the, I'm trying to remember if it was a homily. It had to be a homily during a mass, because I remember that he had the mitre. And he had his staff. And he placed his crozier against his left shoulder and took both of his hands and just, you know, threw them in the air. And his hand motions punctuated his words. And it was all about the mafia. And repent and be saved, very, very much. It was like, you know, John the Baptist coming back and visiting this southern Italian land. So words, these people want to hear the words, and they have to be said, and they can't be said necessarily in a nicer diplomatic way.
There isn't a gentle way of dealing with the mafia. You can't dance around the
word mafia, you know. So, and then actually to change speeds, gears, if you will, in the afternoon, the Pope met with, we forgot to say, of course, that ongoing in Naples, and one of the reasons he timed his visit for October 21st, which was also World Mission Sunday, and we can't let that pass by, but there was a three-day meeting organized by the community of Sant'Egidio based here in Rome, and it was on dialogue among religions for peace and saying no to violence in the name of religion. And so that three-day meeting did end Tuesday night, and they came out with a statement which very much echoed what the Pope said to them, because he met with the leaders of these religious delegations. So for Christians, you had Catholics, you had Protestant and Orthodox, you had Muslims, you had Jews, you had Buddhists, Hindus, and so forth. And the Pope met with them and, as a matter of fact, had lunch with them. And I wish we had more time, because what happened at his lunch table was actually very interesting. But I mean, the main thing was the dedication of their time and energies, their final document, the Pope's words, to the fact that violence cannot take place in God's name. That cannot be the excuse. And in their final document, they said that any violence caused in God's name or war or terrorism is blaspheming God's name. So you can't get any stronger than that, really.
You can't. And talking of violence, we've got a very special occasion coming up on Sunday of 498 victims of violence, but who have won through?
In the Spanish Civil War, which was 1936 to 39, and then there actually was a period just of religious persecution beginning in 1934 and 1935 with the government that was in power at the time. And so you have 498 religious. Actually, I accidentally printed out this list the other day. I was looking at the list of all the names, and I hit the print button, of course, and ran out of paper. But all but seven, because once I had it in front of me, I started to do some counting. All but seven were religious. Two were bishops. And the orders involved are absolutely incredible. You have the Carmelites, the Franciscans, the Dominicans, the Augustinians, the Sacred Heart, the LaSalle, the Christian Brothers. And I'm only naming a few of the religious orders. And some of them lost 50, 60, 70 members. It was absolutely appalling. But it is interesting, because something like over 7,000 religious did lose their lives in the Spanish Civil War. And so Sunday's ceremony, it'll be the largest beatification in history. And what it's actually, in doing a little bit of research, is what I discovered. It is a summation of 23 separate causes. Causes that came out, two or three or four of them in Barcelona, one or two in Madrid, a couple in Toledo, Sevilla, various other Spanish cities that I don't have all in front of me. However, all these various causes came out and were done at the diocesan level, brought to Rome and approved, and the beatification ceremony, instead of having 23 separate ceremonies, they had this one. And what's unusual, what our listeners should know when they watch it on TV and so forth Sunday, and listen to the Vatican radio account of it, they should know that, remember, Pope Benedict, when he became pope, decided that he would not do beatifications. He would only do canonizations. And one of the main thing is a beatification is supposed to indicate the veneration of this person or these persons on a local level, wherever they are from and in their archdiocese and in their country. Whereas the canonization is now saying, yes, this person has lived these heroic virtues or it is martyrdom, and the entire universal church may venerate them. So permission was asked for the beatification not to be held in Spain, where under Pope Benedict it would have normally taken place, but to be held in Rome. So it'll be at St. Peter's. It is Sunday morning. Obviously, people will be able to follow it.
But one interesting thing is this morning when I came in, I managed to get hold of a copy of the booklet for the Mass on Sunday. And it looks as if, I mean, I've only glanced through it. It looks as if the whole of the celebration is going to be in Spanish.
I guess that wouldn't be surprising. I wouldn't have been surprised had it been in Spain, obviously. To have it here in the Vatican, normally, as we know, the masses, well, certainly papal masses anyway, the prayer intentions, the readings are in different languages. You have someone doing English, someone Spanish, someone else doing something in French, because the audience that is going to be participating in a papal event is going to be multilingual. And in this case, I can see that most of your visitors, of course, would be Spanish. And the orders,
they've already started coming in.
They have. And then the orders here, based here in Rome, you're Salesians. And, of course, Cardinal Bertone, Secretary of State, is a Salesian. He will be saying Mass Monday at 10 in Thanksgiving for all the new blesseds, but obviously very particularly for the Salesians, who I think lost, if memory doesn't fail me, I think they lost 76 religious priests and sisters and brothers and so forth. So it's going to be a massively important weekend, and I'm going to walk down from my home just a few blocks and participate in everything.
Mm. And I'm going to have my mother and my sister here as well.
Oh, that'll be a joy indeed.
Yes. So on that note, we're coming to an end of our time.
Have a terrific weekend, and we will see you next week in the same time slot.
And may God bless you.